ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
And that's right, everybody. Welcome back once again to another edition of the Best Seat in the House podcast. As always, I'm your host, Rob Kramer, joined by my co-host, Daniel Bobo Carlin. And Dan, how you doing tonight, buddy?
It's a problem. It's a little bit of, I don't know, I could say celebratory or a bit nerve-wracking the last couple of days because I've been yelling so many obscenities at that. I've been cursing at the TV.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm with you on that, man. Definitely a lot of Joe Beningo would say, oh the pain. There's definitely been a lot of pain over the last couple of days in regards to the Rangers. Our Mets really have not been killing it too much lately. We'll get into that. But yeah, you know, it's funny too, because obviously we're in the heat of the moment right now with Rangers and Knicks playoff basketball and hockey going down for the better part of the last month now, as we're about to get into the conference final stage of that. But Knicks and Rangers both are still one win away from advancing to the next round. Well, this is the first day in quite some time, at least 2 weeks, that there's not a Knicks or a Rangers game going on right now, where both teams have off today. They gave the Rangers the extra day. The Knicks actually get an extra day too, so the Knicks won't play until Friday. Rangers are playing on Thursday. If you're watching this on YouTube, that'll be later tonight. If you're watching this while we're doing it live on Patreon, then you'll be seeing that game tomorrow night with me and Dan. But yeah, Dan, I mean, a lot going on, but it's funny, you know, the Mets and the Yankees have been kind of put on the back burner while we have, and out of the corner of my eye, I see that Joey Lucchese just surrendered a game-tying home run to Bryce Harper. So,
I can't stand already Bryce Harper, and I can't stand that thing when he flips his hair. I want to.
Yep. Opposite field home run, too. Jeez, already 1-1. So the Mets have done nothing but let us down this year. The Yankees have played pretty damn well, so you got to give them credit. But neither of them can steal the headlines during this playoff run so far. And even tonight, on a day where the local teams in the playoffs both have off, tonight is also the NFL schedule release. That's due to happen. This is about 10 to 7 right now as we're recording this. So in a little over an hour, they're going to be releasing the full NFL schedule for all 32 teams. Obviously, our eyes are peeled on the Jets and the Giants, but a lot to get into, Dan.
They revealed their schedules. I noticed a couple of things. For one thing, I noticed they're doing a thing, a hard knocks off season. The first time I heard of this, I heard the Giants service. I thought, why'd the NFL decide to do a hard knocks off season? Why couldn't they have us be like the training camp special? I guess maybe this was a compromise the Giants made, because I heard the Giants numerous times were turned down offer to do hard knocks, and I guess I guess the NFL's mandated, so I guess this was a compromise they did.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of the NFL schedule release at the end of the show, but you're right, there still is nothing 100% confirmed. I saw the Jets' entire schedule earlier today, but it's still just a leak. There's still nothing confirmed. The NFL will not confirm anything until after 8 p.m. So anything we've seen so far is just speculation, outside of the fact that the Jets are opening week one against the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. And then a month later in week five, they're playing the Vikings in England. Those are the only two games for either team the NFL has confirmed so far. The Giants still not confirmed, but obviously most of these leaks are pretty accurate. So we'll see what it looks like a little bit later on. But yeah, Dan, you know what? While we're into it, let's just open up with the best thing that's happened over the last couple of days to us as sports fans, and that is the New York Knicks bouncing back and beating the Indiana Pacers. Just an absolute smackdown, 121-91, erasing the Mother's Day Massacre that happened just a couple of days ago at Madison Square Garden. At Game 4 in Indianapolis. They come back to Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks hold the fort down. They take a 3-2 lead. Dan, how you feeling right now as the Knicks have finally put the Pacers on the brink of elimination?
I feel good going into this next game about this Knicks team. I just feel like it's about time they get a nice, easy win, because I feel like every playoff game has been nervous, nerve-wracking. That it's been me yelling at the cursing. I couldn't calm down, and then I think they needed to check for my pulse after every game.
Yeah, it's true, man. It takes a lot out of you watching these. That's why it's very interesting that, you know, as we discussed, so the Knicks started this whole thing, you know, with every game in that Sixers series was close. The first three games of the Pacers series was close. And then the Mother's Day Massacre happened, where the Knicks get blown out by, it ended up being about 30, but they were really down by 40 and even more than that for most of the game.
Yeah, and you know who else was upset about that, the outcome of that game? My mom! Who? My mom!
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's mom, from New York at least, was pretty upset about the way the Knicks came out. And you know what? I really liked what Isaiah Hartenstein, by the way, we got to give him, or Steen, however you say it, Hartenstein, however you pronounce his name accurately, because I don't want to disrespect the guy. He has played so well. I do want to shine a little bit of a light on him, because after that game four, where the Knicks ended up getting blown out in the locker room, obviously there's a lot of dejected guys in there, but Hartenstein actually went out and was talking to a couple of reporters who got him on the record. They got the camera in his face, and he went out there and plainly just said, you know, look, we got to go out there and get back to playing New York Knicks basketball, the same type of basketball that we've played all year. Because basically what he said at the end of that quote, and I'm paraphrasing here, was that they disrespected the fan base by showing up and playing that poorly of a game, you know, in such a big spot. And while, you know, look, I love the fact that he's taking responsibility as a player, and I love the fact that they're putting it on them. Look, as fans, we might have been frustrated, extremely so, with that poor effort on Mother's Day. But look, these guys have played a very demanding style of basketball, so I'm not going to sit here and begrudge these guys for having one bad game. You know what I mean? I'm not going to knock them for that. So I love the fact that Hartenstein went out there and put it on the team's shoulders and said, we got to play better for our fans, and then went out there and backed it up the next day. Like, what do you think about that, Dan?
Yeah, I got to give credit to that. He just said that there. He rallied the team together, and they came through big time. And I was happier, and my mom was much more happier last night, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And, you know, when you look at Hartenstein, he's the guy that really got everything started, in my opinion. You saw the Knicks were out-hustling the Pacers all night in Game 5, and Hartenstein set the tone. He had those 17 rebounds accompanied by 7 points, a couple of really nice snazzy assists there he had, by the way, too. But I want to give him credit. He was bounding and astounding, to quote the great Clyde Frazier, all night. And he started in the first quarter when he had 5 offensive rebounds in the first quarter. Now, some guys don't average 5 offensive rebounds a game. This guy got 5 in the first quarter. And that just goes to show that from the second that first whistle blew, these guys, especially Hartenstein, were on the ball, playing their asses off, and they knew exactly what was at stake.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel this game, It's like a rare time we've had a laugher all playoffs, so it was kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that, man. And, you know, one guy that a lot of people were a little concerned about because with the way he and let's, you know, the guy was still scoring basically 20 points a game, even when he was a little banged up. But Jalen Brunson, man, goes out there, 44 points, 7 assists. Now, let's also look at this, too. I want to point this out, too, because when you see big point totals like this in the NBA these days, a lot of times it's because the guy got hot shooting, you know, the three-pointer, and they hit, you know, whatever, maybe 9, 10, 11 threes in the game and really boosted their scoring, which is still an impressive feat. But Jalen Brunson was only 2 for 6 from three last night. He only attempted 6. He was 18 of 35 from the field. The efficiency that he had last night, he had the touch on every shot, 44 points, 7 assists. He was setting up his teammates. He even added in about 4 or 5 rebounds too. So Jalen Brunson was all over it last night, and you know that his foot didn't just magically get healthy. He's toughing it out. He's out there putting everything on the line for his team. And just like, you know, we praised Hartenstein to the moon, you have to praise Jalen Brunson, because the guy went out there and put the team on his back and carried them across the finish line last night.
Yeah, you just have to give a lot of credit to Brunson for that. He played through some pain. He just had one of those toughest moments that we've all seen happen in sports. We've seen all those great moments from Curt Schilling with that bloody sock, which looked painful watching it when I saw that. You had Michael Jordan practically under the weather. I mean, like, somehow under the weather, came up big time, and probably what we thought at the time was him closing out his career at such a big moment. And of course, you had to even go further back. You got the Walt Clyde Frazier with that big moment when he wasn't at 100%, and he came up big in the NBA Finals.
Are you thinking of Willis Reed?
Willis Reed.
Yes. Willis Reed moment. You're right.
Yeah. So I feel like there's been some big moments. You've had guys under the weather, and they've not 100%, and they've come through in big moments.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And Jalen Brunson is etching his name right in there with those all-time greats. And, you know, you just got to give him credit and hope. You know, look, man, there's a lot on the line for the Knicks, as they have not been in the Eastern Conference Finals since the year 2000. So it's been a long, long time for the Knicks. They want to get right back there. They want to, be one of the final four, if you will, which is what it comes down to. You know, you start the NBA playoffs with top 8 seeds from each side. 16 teams make it. And now we're down to the final four after this series is done, which is still not. We're still in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, to put the context, how far back you have to go to when last time the Knicks were in the Eastern Conference Finals. It was around a time we were reading. I was seeing in video game magazines, upcoming this new system that was in development that was still in development. Called PlayStation 2 that hadn't been released yet, and there was all this anticipation, and I remember this magazine that was showing off some of the launch games for this system. That's how far back we got to go when PlayStation 2 was just about to the countdown to PlayStation 2 was beginning.
That's true. That's a good point. And at that point too, in the video game world, there was also whispers of a system that some of the younger people might not even know, but I'm sure you do, Dan. The system, the Sega Dreamcast, was due to come out within the next year or so after that. So, yeah, you're right. It's definitely a different time, considering nobody even knows what a Dreamcast is anymore these days.
Well, a lot of people, but it was one of the biggest flops. Even though I heard from some people that had a Dreamcast back in the day that there were some great games on it, I heard, but It didn't do as well.
There was. I had a Dreamcast, and it was a pretty good system. The thing that screwed them over, though, was that they didn't do a good job of making it hard to copy and forge their video games. So you could just burn a CD of their video game and have it and play it, and it wouldn't have been a problem. They used to have something that was called a load disc. So you'd play the game, or you'd put the system on, you'd put the load disc in, you'd take the load disc out, put your burned CD of the game in, and boom, you're playing that game 2 seconds later.
Yeah, I heard something like that happen. I remember all these things people talk about, these bootleg games and stuff. I had heard about that. So I heard all different kinds of things. And I remember once getting introduced to one of the weirdest video games, like this game that felt like it was trying to interrogate you. When one of my peeps showed me this game called Seaman, where this weird creature, I don't know if you heard about it.
I don't think I played that one.
Yeah, you heard about this on an AV video game. They talked about it. This creature that was like, you raised this weird creature that was like a fish with a human face, and apparently it tried to, the way this thing would ask you questions and stuff, the way it interacted with you was almost creepy.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you could. There's videos about it on YouTube, and I recommend watching the Angry Video Game Nerd episode about that. That guy is freaking. That guy has had some episodes that have just made me still laugh to this day. He's done for mystery. He's done the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing for video games, kind of.
Yes, I've seen his gimmick, and it definitely is pretty funny, no doubt about it. And just to keep it rolling along here now, though, Dan. We'll finish up with the Knicks here, as now the next thing we got to look forward to is Game 6 in Indiana on Friday night. They still haven't named a time yet. It'll probably be 8 o'clock or so. But big game there. And the big question is, will OG Anunoby be ready for Friday's game? He's listed as questionable right now. He was with the team on Tuesday, yesterday, during the last game, during game 5. And he, you know, was working out beforehand. They said he was finished up with the pool work he was doing, because, you know, he had a hamstring strain. So they send you to do that pool work where you're walking through the water in an effort to try to rehab that injured hamstring. So they say he's done with the pool work now, and he's doing light work on the side with his teammates. So you hope that means he's trending towards being able to play on Friday. But look, the Knicks blew them out in game 6. In game 5 without him. They should be able to win one more game without him. And they're saying that, you know, no matter what, he should definitely be available for the Eastern Conference Final if the Knicks have, you know, advance that far.
Yes, I feel maybe that they don't need to rush him. I feel they don't need to rush him. I feel like the Knicks are in a situation where it's not so urgent yet, hit the panic button yet. You know, hopefully they can do, they could, everyone else could rise up to the occasion and get, wrap this thing up quickly on Friday, and hopefully lead to a nice little celebratory start to the weekend.
Exactly, Dan. Exactly. As right now, you know, Friday's game 6, it's not do or die for the Knicks. It's do or die for the Pacers. So I agree with you. If anything, I would hold him back. Right now, they already have, it's funny, they have a game time for game 7 at the Garden, but they don't have a game time for game 6. And game 7 isn't even necessary yet. So we'll see what happens. But should it go as far to game 7, that'll happen on Sunday at 3 o'clock. So we'll see how that goes down. But in order for that to happen, then the Pacers have to win this Friday night in Indiana and force it back. Because if the Knicks get the victory, then they should be if the Knicks get the victory, it's over. See you later, Pacers, and we're on to the next round. But should the Knicks lose, I would not be surprised if OG shows up for game 7. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. I feel if a game seven is necessary, he will show up. I feel like.
Yeah.
Also, I gotta say about the start times, I can imagine this has gotta be an issue, especially the fact that we're in a unique situation that we weren't in before with the previous deal, because you got two networks, TNT, you know, the very sort of networks, ESPN, ABC, both having TV rights to the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, so it's gonna be all this scheduling thing that they gotta sort out. Because they got
yeah,
the rights
true.
To two they got the rights to two major sports that do their playoffs just about in the same time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So there's going to be some scheduling conflicts on there. I'm sure they're going to have it all worked out eventually. But, yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on if you're a Knicks fan. Yeah, Lito, then on the other side of things, let's turn our attention to a little Rangers talk right now, as the Knicks ended up splitting the first four with the Pacers to have it 2-2 coming out of the home-and-home to begin the series. But the Rangers ended up going up 3-0 as they won the first two at the Garden. They dropped game three in they won game three in overtime at Carolina. But since then, they've dropped the last two, losing 4-3 in game four in Carolina. And then really just imploding in the last 12 minutes last night, on Monday night at the Garden. They lose 4-1. Really, if you're a diehard Rangers fan, it was a sickening game to watch, because it almost felt like as soon as the Rangers got that 1-0 lead, they were just way too complacent, man. Up 1-0, it felt like they thought all they had to do was defend for the rest of the game. They went about a 20-minute stretch where they had like two shots on goal. It's ridiculous. The Rangers, you know what? And to me, I almost feel like good, you know, as long as it doesn't, you know, backfire and the Rangers, you know, end up losing the series, God forbid, or whatever. But I feel like, you know, I'm kind of glad the Rangers got punched in the mouth. And you know, you're not supposed to get to the Eastern Conference final unscathed. You know, people are going to take their shots at you. We're playing some pretty damn good teams at this point right now, especially the Carolina Hurricanes, who, in my opinion, are the second best team in the entire league to the Rangers. So, and, you know, basically that and the Dallas Stars are the only teams that finished near the Rangers in the President's Trophy. So that does, you know, have a lot of evidence to back it up. But, you know, with the thing is, when you play like that, like the Rangers did for the rest of that game after getting that 1-0 lead, you know, you set yourself up to fail. It's almost like in football, you know, they call the prevent defense. You know, the only thing the prevent defense does is prevent you from winning. And that's exactly what happened to the Rangers.
Yeah, that's what I felt like that happened. I feel like they should have made another push to get another goal or two. I just feel like that whole third period just made me scratch my head, made me yell at the TV quite a bit. Like I was, I don't know, just it's a miracle my TV survived this. It's gonna survive this playoff. I mean, I cannot tell you how upset I was. Like, I can't believe they just collapsed like that whole third period, because I felt like the whole game they felt like we're gonna win this game, and all of a sudden, what happened? Like they're a completely different team that third period.
Yeah, well, it's true. And the funny thing is that it didn't even start right away. You know, with 13 minutes left in the game, the Rangers were still up 1-0. So the Rangers were about 13 minutes or so away from eliminating the Carolina Hurricanes 1-0. To me, I was getting flashbacks to Henrik Lundqvist's 1-0 shutout of the Montreal Canadiens in game six of the Eastern Conference final way back in 2014. That's what I was kind of envisioning. I was thinking, okay, you know, they're not pressing right now offensively, but, you know, maybe they're just going to play really good defense and shut them down and not let them score. But that was not the case, as in the final 13 minutes, Carolina exploded for four goals to take the game, a 4-1 victory. Just it felt like there was nothing the Rangers could do right. Even when they had a power play They could not establish the offensive zone. You just knew, and I know you probably felt this way too, Dan, because sometimes you could just tell things about your team. You know, when the Rangers' power play is firing and on all cylinders, and they're looking like the team they have all season, you say to yourself, you know, pull the goalie 6-on-5, damn right, Rangers got a good chance to win this thing, or at least tie it up and take it into overtime. But that was not the case when they pulled the goalie down 3-1 with about 3 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game, because you knew that the Rangers just, for whatever reason, did not have it that night, and that the Hurricanes were going to make them pay for it. And, man, the Rangers won the faceoff in the Carolina zone, and 5 seconds later they were down 4-1. You just knew that as soon as Nietzsche got that puck, it was going right down the ice into their into the goal.
Yeah, exactly. And fortunately, it turned out like this. And I just hope we don't play like we play a lot better. And I know we're going to be fired up this game. I just have a feeling the Rangers are going to be on all cylinders in this game tomorrow. My gut feeling.
I agree with you.
No way we don't win this tomorrow.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Dan. And the reason for that, that's why I was saying earlier that as angering as it is to watch, and as much as you don't want to see it, because, you know, hell, I would have liked to cruise through the first two rounds, 8-1 or, you know, 8-0 if everything worked out that way, which, by the way, the Rangers were about 3 minutes away from having two sweeps to begin it before a, in my opinion, borderline tripping call gave the Hurricanes the power play that put them up 4-3 in game three. But that's neither here nor there, because the Rangers collapsed in game five, and here we are in game six now. So the thing is, though, that I feel like it was a good, like a wake-up call to the Rangers. Like, this isn't going to be easy, guys. This isn't going to be not that they thought it was going to be easy, but you just know. And sometimes, even if they go into it thinking, it's nice to have a little wake-up call, a little reminder that, hey, remember how much is on the line here. You know, we all know how far the Rangers got 2 years ago when they were just two wins away from getting back to the Stanley Cup final. We all know what happened last year when they didn't even get out of the first round. So take both those things into consideration and remember just exactly what you're playing for, and that it's not going to be easy, and you're going to have to fight every step of the way to get every win.
Yeah, exactly. Strike hard, strike first, strike fast. No mercy.
Sweep the leg. I like it. You're right. You're right, Dan. Another thing I want to do, I saw some people trying to point the blame at Igor Shesterkin. Bite your tongue if you're going to blame Igor Shesterkin for everything, for anything. This guy had gone 30 consecutive playoff games with allowing 3 goals or less. Now, yeah, sure, back-to-back games against one of the best offenses in hockey. He's allowed 4 goals in a row. But, you know, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. The situation that the Rangers found themselves in was a bad first period in game three where they found themselves down 3-1. And then Shesterkin shut them down until the final 3 minutes of the third period. So you got to give him credit for that. And they only scored in a power play. And then he had them shut out until 13 minutes left in the game yesterday. And the defense completely fell apart in front of him. The entire team did. And all they did was chase Carolina for the last 13 minutes of that game. So I am not going to sit here and criticize Igor Shesterkin one bit. What do you think about that, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. Igor, he's been coming up big in a lot of big spots all playoffs. Also, yeah. I gotta say another thing about the Rangers: try to stay out of the penalty box this game as much as
that
possible.
That is such a huge thing. You're totally right about that, Dan. And I do think that there have been some ridiculous calls against the Rangers in this series. But you know, what are you gonna do? You get bad calls against you when you go on a playoff run. So you got to deal with it. And I think the Rangers will. I agree with you. Stay the hell out of the box. And not only that,
when you do find yourself on a power play, and look, I know the Hurricanes are one of, if not the best penalty killing teams in the league. They were all year, and they're continuing it in the playoffs. The Rangers got off to a hot start against them. They've gone cold. It's time in game six to score a power play goal and finish this series off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just finish the thing off. Don't make me so nervous. Don't put more grays in this playoff tier that I have, because there's so many grays. But pretty much, probably by the next time you see me, or at least by the start of the Eastern Conference Finals, I'll have this. I ordered some Just for Men that arrived, so you'll be. You might see a bit less grays on this on my playoff beard, probably at least by either after the game, maybe by tomorrow, or hopefully be going into the Eastern Conference Finals. There'll be you'll be seeing that photo, because you probably noticed how I posted a picture going into each playoff round, what I look like going into each round of the playoffs. I mean, my face. And if we get to the Cup Finals, I mean, we could literally do a flip book on this.
It's true. This is true. No doubt about it, Dan. And all this that we're talking about now will lead up to tomorrow night, or if you're watching this on Thursday when we debut on YouTube, that'll be tonight, Thursday night, 7 p.m., Rangers at Hurricanes. You know, let's not forget, too, I saw a lot of people talking about going back to Carolina as a death sentence for the Rangers. And, ooh, it's going to be so scary going back to Carolina. I'm not scared of going to Carolina one bit. Do I sit here and think that it's going to be a tough atmosphere to play in? Absolutely. But the Rangers, let's not forget, 2 years ago in Game 7 in Carolina, destroyed the Hurricanes 6-2 and beat them in Game 3 here in overtime 4-3. So let's not sit here and act like this is the Knicks-Pacers series where the home team hasn't lost yet. This is a series where the Rangers have won on this home ice when it's counted multiple times, so they should be able to finish it off here in Game 6 as well. Right, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. And I urge every Rangers fan, as many of you as possible, I mean, I can't really pull this off, but as many Ranger fans as possible, head on out to North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, to attend the game. Really show them that they couldn't keep us out.
That includes
every Rangers fan in the South. As many Ranger fans in the South especially, show up.
Calling all Rangers fans, report to Raleigh, North Carolina. Any Rangers fan below the Mason-Dixon line, get your ass to Raleigh, North Carolina, because Bobo's putting out the call. We got to show up there, and I want to see a lot of blue in the stands. Let's make sure these people know that their season's on the line, right, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. As many of you possible. I mean, even some Ranger fans, maybe drive some other Ranger fans that are buying tickets. You know,
Yeah, exactly.
Make it as much possible for every Rangers fan that's going to make this trip out there to be there. That can afford it.
Make that trip out there.
Really make your presence felt at Raleigh tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And then hopefully celebrate by having some barbecue after, because you definitely gotta have, definitely while you're there, have some good sort of barbecue while you're there.
Absolutely. As the big game on tap tomorrow night for the Rangers with a chance to advance, and then a big game on tap on Friday night for the Knicks, also with a chance to advance. So we'll keep our eyes out for those. No doubt about it. Going to be a lot of fun seeing what happens with those two teams now. But on, as apparently Dan dropped off here, we'll be rejoined by him in a sec.
I'm still here.
Okay, there we go. You dropped off for a sec.
I don't know what the heck happened here. Hold on, let me fix.
All right. Dan, are you there still?
I'm here.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to move on to the Mets now. Move on to a little baseball. Start off with the Mets. As right now, the Mets are live. And by the way, just took a 2-1 lead as Pete Alonso scored from third base on a wild pitch. So the Mets are up 2-1 with a runner in scoring position. So they have a chance to tack on a few here in rainy Philadelphia right now. But things have not been going too well for the Mets right now, as they currently sit in the season 19-22. They continue to flounder in mediocrity as they've lost 4 of the last 5, all against Atlanta and Philadelphia. And let's be honest, they just barely pulled that game out on Sunday night when Brandon Nimmo hit a game-winning 2-run shot that nobody saw coming. I was very happy for Brandon, but I got to tell you, I was shocked when he hit that one. So really nice for nice moment for Nimmo, but this team has just not been hitting. This team has been playing like crap, and they're 3 games under .500, and they look every bit of it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just like, I feel like whenever they're having pitching, I feel the offense is not there, and when the offense is not there, the pitching's not there. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I know the last couple of games that Edwin Diaz maybe looked a little bit flat, but probably I can't say much about that. I had a feeling that was probably going to happen. The guy went an entire year without pitching. And I mean, it wasn't just to raise the bar for the year before, but just the fact that entire year without pitching, you knew there was going to be some things that were going to kind of happen, but it just happened at a worse time when we're in a situation where I feel like all season we're the ones chasing that spot. I feel like trying to come from behind, and it just happens at the worst opportune time. And
boy
was I upset on Monday. It was like, I feel like it was a double cursing. Like, I don't know if my TV could have handled all that beating. Because the Rangers had just lost. Then the last couple of innings of that game, and I was so bad. I said, you saw me yesterday. I was literally silent on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that on social media.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, but I literally had no words to say. Like, I was.
Look, you can't get too wrapped up with the Mets. I mean, look, I'm sure I'm going to be much more invested in the Mets once the Knicks and Rangers seasons are over, no matter what happens. But now you have to just look at them and take them for what they are. They're a 500 team. They're not even 500 right now. They're a less than mediocre team. And they look, like I said, every bit of it. You know, they've been running Jose Budo out there most of the year. Well, they optioned him to AAA and brought up Joey Lucchese, who, by the way, I like Joey Lucchese. I think Joey Lucchese is a major league pitcher. I'm glad he's up here. I hope they keep him up here for the foreseeable future. And not to mention, Joey Lucchese is a former, guest, technically, of Best Seat in the House podcast. He showed up on a cameo on our 100th episode, so shout out to tonight's starting pitcher, Joey Lucchese, right, Dan?
Yeah, we got to give a lot of props to him for showing up on for congratulating us on our 100th show. That was pretty cool getting to see that, and hopefully he does well. But everything, I just look at this team. I just really look at a team with a GM that didn't do enough during the offseason. I feel like this team is missing those couple of moves that were not made, and we're paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, look at this team, man. Look, I don't want to say it's a garbage team, because they do have some good pieces on this team, but you just knew. Look, I'm a Mets fan my whole life. You're a Mets fan your whole life. I'm not a person that I don't sugarcoat the Mets. I know there's a lot of Mets fans that go out there and they're like, oh, you see this Mets Kool-Aid? I'm going to drink every bit of this Mets Kool-Aid, and I'm just going to believe everything they say, and everything is going to be hunky-dory, roses and rainbows. That's not the case with me.
I look at the Mets as a diehard fan, and I also look at them with a critical eye. And my critical eye told me this offseason that this is exactly the shit we were going to see. And yeah, they got off to, you know, that 0-5 start, and then they got a little hot after that and evened it out. But that is the hallmark of a 500 baseball team. And that's all I expected to see out of them this year, and that's exactly what we're getting. You know, when you put together this pitching staff with still with no Kodai Senga, who, by the way, Dan, we got to get into a little bit of this Kodai Senga stuff, because I was scratching my head at this Carlos Mendoza quote the other day. So when the Mets beat writers, specifically Anthony DeComo, was questioning him about, you know, where Kodai Senga is in his rehab, they say he's still going through, you know, whatever cautionary things they have to get him through, all these different steps they're looking for him to take. But when they kept pressing with the questions, they asked, you know, is he still hurt? You know, is there something he has to do to convince you guys that he's not hurt? And Mendoza said that he's not hurt anymore. He's recovered from that injury, and that Kodai Senga is just mostly concerned with his mechanics of his pitching mechanics, his pitching motion. So that his pitching mechanics are a little out of whack, and that's why he hasn't even started doing a rehab assignment yet. You know how you fix your bad pitching mechanics? Doing bullpen sessions and pitching in live batting, you know, circumstances to live batters. What are they doing? If he's healthy and we're now halfway through May, we're over a month into the season. You know, the Mets are 19-22. We're damn near 50 games into the season, almost a third of the way through 162 major league games. That's what we're at right now, just about that. And they're not doing anything with Kodai Senga because his mechanics aren't where they want it to be. Sometimes this team just says things that just blow my mind.
Why do they do this always with our pitchers? This is always scratches my head with this.
I just don't get it. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, if his mechanics are messed up, you want them to mess it up. You want them to fix it and tweak it, but you do that on a minor league rehab assignment when you're trying to work your way back. This guy, let's be realistic here. He's still a month away because he's not even pitching yet to live batters. That, like, what I'm saying is not that you just throw him out there and let him work his way back and he'll figure the mechanics out. What I'm saying is that this guy's still at the February 25th portion or so of spring training. He's at the right at the beginning. So when he goes out there, his first start is only going to be for an inning or two. They got to build him up. So why not tweak his mechanics at that point? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I really don't understand this. I mean, I just feel like, again, this team just does a horrible job that managing their injured players.
Yeah, they definitely do, and they have a history of that. So that's what's very concerning, and I just don't understand, man. I mean, we're still a month away from Senga. It blows my mind sometimes how this team handles themselves. But so we'll take that where it's at right now. But also looking at the – we want to jump over to the Yankees real quick, as the Mets right now still currently lead 2-1 in Philadelphia. Joey Lucchese is looking pretty good right now. Aside from that home run he gave up to Bryce Harper in the first, he's settled down. He's pitching pretty good. So our buddy, one of our guests on our 100th episode, Joey Lucchese, going out there and pitching pretty good for the Mets tonight. Got to give him some credit on that. But over on the other side of town, the Bronx Bombers, the Yankees are in Minnesota right now. But before that, they took a 2-3 series from the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend. You know, the Rays might be a little bit up and down this year so far, not exactly where we've seen them in the past. But they're still a formidable team. And, you know, the fact the Yankees took 2 out of 3 from them over the weekend, that's definitely good for the Yankees. You know, as you see, they're 28-15. They're 13 games over 500. They're playing pretty damn good ball. And we all know the Yankees love to beat up the Minnesota Twins. So they beat up the Twins last night. They play the Twins a little bit later tonight, I believe starting at 8 o'clock Eastern time, so just under a half hour away from first pitch. And, yeah, the Yankees look primed to go out there and beat up the Twins again, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like that's the Twins. They always lose to the Yankees. So it's, I just feel like it just looks like with this Yankees team, their toughest so far early in the season, I feel like the toughest opponent they're going to be facing is going to be Baltimore during the year. That's going to be one of the few teams that looks like that has that pitching, and that's going to be the thing that's going to be the toughest opponent on the Yankees is the team that has that pitching that's willing to keep that'll keep that game low scoring.
Well, that's true. That's definitely true. But you know what? And they did have a rough series a week or two ago in Baltimore when they were out there. But we do have to give them credit for beating Tampa Bay because, you know, if they had lost 2 out of 3 to Tampa Bay, we'd be the first one sitting here telling you, oh, well, the Yankees struggle, you know, against their division opponent and they always have trouble with the Rays. So we do got to be fair and give the Yankees credit for coming up with a big series victory over the Rays this weekend. So I do want to give them credit, but you know, you're looking at tonight's pitching matchup for the Yanks, and it's Marcus Stroman. You know, this is if you're a Mets fan, this is a pitching matchup you're very familiar with because Marcus Stroman, we know pretty damn well from spending a couple of years in a Mets uniform. Many Mets fans aren't that big a fan of him, myself included. So the Yankees can have fun with Marcus all they want, but he's off to an up and down start so far this year, 2-2, 3.80 ERA. And then former Miami Marlin Pablo Lopez, who the Mets routinely beat up when he was over here in Miami, he is off to a 4-2 start, a 3.89 ERA. So it's a pretty good – I mean, you know, Pablo Lopez is probably the Twins' best pitcher. So, you know, the Yankees seeing him tonight, we're talking about the pitching. This is a big test for this Yankees lineup against a pretty good pitcher in Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, I just feel like this one – if anything, this one could be in one of the few games against the Yankees playing against the Twins that could be very low scoring.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. You know, especially if both these guys are on their mark, because you know when Stroman is going good, he's going to hold you. He's going to get a lot of ground balls, and he's going to hold you down for 6, maybe even 7 innings on a good night. And then Pablo Lopez is the same thing. He could get a little bit more strikeouts than Stroman, but he also makes you pound the ball into the ground when he's going well too. So we could really see the infield get a lot of workout in Minnesota tonight. So really interesting to see how that one plays out. See if the Yankees could win another series. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's going to do it for baseball. So one last thing to get to before we round the show out here on the final leg here, the final lap, if you will, to give a NASCAR feel to it. And if you do like NASCAR, by the way, you can check out our Patreon where our pal Bobo over here has his Bobo's Trackside Minute. Why don't you tell people about that real quick, Bo?
Yeah. It's going to be a little Trackside Minute, a little bit of extra one. I'm going to be talking about the last two weeks of NASCAR. What happened the last 2 weeks, and should be it's going to be a little interesting talking about that the last 2 weeks. All you who subscribe, you get access to the Trackside Minute, and you get early access to my YouTube videos. All those YouTube videos you see on my YouTube, you guys subscribing, and if you subscribe to my Patreon, you guys get early access to it.
Yeah, and you get early access to, like, what we're doing right now. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you could be watching us live right now, as opposed to the video that comes out on Thursday morning. You can check us out on Wednesday night, live and in person. So we appreciate everybody that's subscribing and checking it out right now. It's only $5, so it helps keep us in business. So thank you very much to all the subscribers, and thank you to anybody that's even thinking about it. So, you know, I just did a quick look just to see if there have been any more Giants games confirmed. on the schedule yet. We're still over 20 minutes away from the official schedule release that starts at 8 o'clock. But the only games locally that we know right now are that the Jets open up week one on Monday Night Football versus the San Francisco 49ers. That's going to be, you know, luckily it's not going to be the late game. At first I was thinking they're going to stick the Jets at 10 o'clock. But on week one, they don't do that crap anymore. So Jets week one, Monday Night Football against San Francisco will be at the regular Monday night game, about 8:20 or so. So that's going to be interesting. Hopefully, you know, I don't like opening. You know, let me ask you, Dan, what do you think of this matchup? I mean, Aaron Rodgers coming back off injury. You know, obviously Robert Saleh coaching against his former team. There's a bunch of ex-49ers on the Jets these days now. And not to mention the fact that the San Francisco 49ers are the defending NFC champions. So there's a lot of glitz and glamour going into this week one matchup. What did you think when you heard, you know, about this one being announced?
Oh, I thought oh, the Giants and the Jets are going to be playing on separate days, and I heard even kind of a possible schedule league that the Giants are doing an 8 o'clock game or something like that on Sunday night. It's like, oh, we got Sunday night and we got to do a Sunday night post game show, and then you got to do two post game shows in week one. And I said already starting week one. I cannot tell you how many times last season did we do a number of we had to do two separate post game shows, and how many post game shows we had to do late on Sunday night.
It's true. We had a lot of primetime games last year, and a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say, I feel like they couldn't have just thrown us a break week one.
I was hoping that too, man. You know, seeing that week one against the 49ers, I was really just hoping that was going to be like a 1 o'clock kickoff regular Sunday. But of course not. They stick the Jets Monday Night Football against the Niners. And, you know, now it's going to be the same thing. You know, I guess the only thing that I can look at it is that at least it's not going to be on that shitty MetLife Field. And at least, you know, in California, it's probably going to be good weather. You know, I highly doubt it's going to be pouring rain like it was on September 11th last year when Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like you guys are going to be good. The only thing is you're probably going to need a bit of coffee on Monday morning. But hopefully doesn't turn out horribly for you guys. And I know there's going to be you're going to be going through this whole thing again like last year, wondering how this is going to turn out, because this is going to be like you really didn't get to see any of Aaron Rodgers. You guys didn't get to see any of Aaron Rodgers last year, so this year is going to be the make or break year for you guys.
Yeah, didn't even get to see Rodgers complete a pass last year. He had one pass attempt, and it was incomplete, and that's it. See you later. You know, the best thing that happened while he was quarterback was that he handed the ball off to Breece Hall for what it was, a 35 or 40 yard run. And when that happened, I was like, well, the Jets are obviously winning the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no way they're not. Who's going to beat them now? Breece Hall's running for 30 or 40 yards. We got Aaron Rodgers. And then three plays later, the season was over. So therein lies the life of a Jets fan, everybody. real quick, just to round out the Jets on that, they play it was announced today that the Jets are one of the teams that are traveling internationally this year. They'll be playing in England against the Minnesota Vikings in week five. October 6th is the day that'll fall on. So Jets be playing a little bit early in the morning. Once again, a day I'm going to need some coffee in me to watch the Jets play the Vikings a little early. But so that's very interesting stuff. I know we were also talking about how they have the unconfirmed stuff. There's a lot of unconfirmed stuff with the Jets right now. They're saying the Jets are going to be back on that Black Friday game. There's a whole bunch of different ways they could go about it right now. They're saying the Jets aren't going to open at home until week three on Thursday night against the Patriots, but none of that has been confirmed yet. It's all just speculation. The only two games that have been confirmed are the week one against the Niners and week five against the Vikings in England. On the Giants side, nothing's been confirmed yet, but has there, I was just looking around and I still haven't seen anything. Did you see anything? I know you were talking about that you saw a leaked Giants schedule. Was there any games on there that caught your eye?
Yeah, I heard they're going to be potentially playing against Carolina in Germany, of all places.
Oh, you're right. I did see that one, too. I forgot that one. Yes, I saw that was supposed to be it, too. Yes, Giants and Carolina in Germany. Very interesting matchup there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I wonder what the time difference is. Is that a game in the morning that I'm going to be watching as I'm eating breakfast? Because that's what it feels like. That's what I'm sensing.
Yeah, I think it'll be about the same time, maybe 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, because Germany is like maybe an hour or two different from England. So it's very close.
Yes, I just feel like I'll be eating breakfast as I'm watching that game. Probably gonna have to make myself some coffee in the morning. I feel like.
Yeah, no doubt. I saw that.
And I saw they're doing this new thing. And the thing I don't get why HBO does this, when the way they do the Hard Knocks, how they this last year they did it in season and they didn't use the same team during the training camp as they did that. I feel like if HBO does a Hard Knocks, the way I feel they need to do it, they need to do the entire team off season, training camp, and in season. I feel like be consistent with the team. I feel like
I ideally would agree with you, but you know what though? I think it's so exhausting just seeing how, not that I think it affected the Jets at all, but just seeing the extent that these guys go through being filmed and, you know, letting those guys into their locker room and their lives and everything. I think that it is kind of taxing on the players. So I don't really blame them for, not wanting a camera with them the whole year. You know what I mean? Like training camp, that's enough. I think even the in-season stuff, because they do have, like last year, they had an in-season Hard Knocks version with the Miami Dolphins, and I didn't watch any of it, but I heard that it was pretty good stuff. So they had the in-season stuff with the Miami Dolphins. Now they're doing the off-season stuff with the Giants, and I do think you're right what you said earlier, too, that the Giants are one of these teams that do not want to participate in Hard Knocks during training camp, and I don't blame them, really.
I feel like this was maybe a compromise they made, because I heard the NFL kind of mandates these teams do it if they're asked to do it.
Yeah, like the Jets were, like last year in training camp, the Jets were forced to. They said no. Robert Saleh told the NFL, no, we're not doing it. And the NFL overruled them and forced them to.
Yeah, so I just feel like the NFL kind of has a, I feel like it has become too powerful and things. And I just feel like they just had to do this. And I feel like the Giants made some kind of compromise where they say, we don't really want to do this during the training camp. We'll give you an off-season thing about our off-season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, because now they're going to be covering probably a little of the draft. That they'll probably get some Giants draft nuggets and stuff like that. Maybe a little bit of, inside look of the Giants war room. So I'm sure they'll be doing, they'll have some of that because they've been traveling with them for a while. So I'm sure they were involved, at least in some aspect. I'm sure they had cameras on rookie minicamp. And I'm sure, I believe OTAs start in just a couple of weeks, maybe at the end of the month, either right before or right after Memorial Day. So I'm sure they'll have cameras in on that too. So it's going to be an interesting look. I mean, if you're a Giants fan, it's definitely worth watching, just like with the Jets last year. I was a little nervous about it. And look, the Jets didn't have a good season last year, But I'm not going to be one of these fans that sit here and blame Hard Knocks for it, because it wasn't Hard Knocks' fault. It was the Jets' fault for A, not having a backup quarterback, and B, you know, letting this team be so injury like to be so affected by the injury. That's not Hard Knocks' problem. That's the Jets' problem. So as a Giants fan, you should be pretty excited, because that's going to be a pretty cool look at your team. You know, most fan bases don't get to see their team working out and doing their kind of stuff this time of year. So as a Giants fan, it should be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, exactly. Also, I got to say, I hope, speaking of all season, I hope at least this time, I remember last year during training camp, they did it. Now it wasn't like walk up, you had to do these, you had to claim these free tickets, and it was a little amount of free tickets. I hope this time I managed to get a hold of one this time, because I wasn't so lucky. I mean, I was going to go the way at first. I figured out, no way I'm going to do this, because unfortunately, I don't know why New Jersey Transit doesn't offer train service during training camp. But unlike during the season where they do offer that train service and there is transportation, there is a way you can get there on public transit during the season and during the preseason. During training camp, you can't. There's no other public transportation option to get there to MetLife. So it was like, I knew I had. But then I figured out. I said, oh, wait a minute. I could get an Uber from the nearest New Jersey Transit station to MetLife Stadium. That's not the station that they open. That operate during game days, which I believe was Rutherford, which would normally wouldn't be there. So normally during the season you get off at that station in Meadowlands. But I figured I'd take a New Jersey Transit to Rutherford and then take an Uber from there. By the time I realized that, they kept selling out of the training camp tickets each day of training camp. Hopefully this time I could pull it off and maybe get to comment on what I saw during training camp in person this time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Dan. And yeah, I think that's about going to do it for us today. Final score update here on the Mets. They're up 2-1. Joey Lucchese just retired the side. End of four. So we're going to the top of the fifth. Mets lead 2-1. So nice little game so far for the Mets tonight. And Dan, before we get out of here, do you have anything you'd like to plug for yourself?
Sure. You got my Twitter, Bobo103NYC. Instagram, Bobo7018DK, same username on Treads. Also, you got my YouTube videos. You'll be seeing some YouTube content there that you guys who subscribe to our Patreon get early access to. So you're going to get seeing that. You'll get to see some stuff, some videos during the playoffs. Hopefully some videos of us during the playoffs. And we can't just wait to the day where we're 1-1 away from winning the whole thing to see how this is going to work the camera's on us. We might have to do a test run during one of the playoff games where you meet up with me and Donovan to try to figure out the laptop situation to have the cameras on us an entire game so they can see our reaction to that. So we have it ready to go when it happens that we're 1 win away from winning the whole thing.
We'll definitely, if the Rangers and, well, you know, really if either team, but if the Rangers and the Knicks get to the Eastern Conference Final, we will definitely be watching at least one of those games together with a camera on us. So we're going to be figuring that out pretty quickly, hopefully. Let's hope at least on Thursday and Friday that comes to fruition, because we will definitely be figuring that out.
Yeah, we definitely got to figure it out. And I can tell you, that'll be one heck of a video, because you'll be like seeing us and a bunch of people in the bar in the background celebrating. So I feel like I really hope we get to do this, because it'll be really cool to bring people into what it's like during one of these celebrations.
And yeah, we might not be able to, because the computer and the bar and everything, or having a camera with us in the bar might be a little difficult, but we also might be able to set up our own little party. Our own little viewing party. We'll maybe bring in some of our friends, some stuff like that. Maybe we'll have it over at my place. Maybe we'll have it at a place more conducive to filming us. But either way, we're going to be doing something, and we're going to be figuring it out.
yeah, exactly. We're figuring it out, and I'm even contacting the people at the bar to see if we could if we get film out there, if we get set up, because hopefully they could. Maybe they might want to see this, because they'll love to see the reaction, see their bar in the seeing footage of it reach on the internet of that celebrating that happened there.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that it's a little hard. I'd have to, in order for us to do it at a bar like that, I'd really have to bring two computers two sets of microphones.
Exactly.
It would be a little difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So we might have to figure that out. Maybe we'll figure out something.
I'm putting my thinking cap on.
I might even have to go as far as contacting Stevie Lou to see if we could use his place over in Brooklyn. Maybe if he minds, invite a few people, because I know that's one network that he does get in his house as ABC, which would be airing the finals of each of the respective sports. So yeah. I feel that for a while I was debating that, because I know he doesn't have Hill, but I know he's got he gets ABC, so we'd be able to figure that one out, definitely, to get multiple people to stop by for that big moment to happen. And I feel as long as we can get the permission from Stevie Lou, as long as his wife's on board with having a couple of people over for this big moment, we might have to film it there.
Well, either way, shout out to the great Stevie Lou. We all love Stevie Lou here. He's the man. So shout out to Stevie. Go check him out. On Twitter, what's his Twitter name? Is it Stevie Lou is real or something like that? I think
it is something like that. I keep forgetting, because he's gone through so many of these.
Yeah, he had, you know, real quick before we sign off, and we're just about ready to sign off here, I want to give Stevie Lou a proper shout out, because Stevie really is the best. Stevie Lou, this is what it is. Stevie Lou's new Twitter is at Stevie Lou is back. So shout out to the great Stevie Lou. And yes, he is back on X at Stevie Lou is back. So please give him a follow. Yeah, Dan, you gonna say?
Yeah, and I'm probably gonna be contacting him in the coming days about this to prepare to see if we can do this, because I feel like that from my memory, my map out of that place, I feel like that could be a great spot to set this up.
Very cool, man. Very cool. So a lot of options on the table right now for us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and watching our production meeting here for the last couple of minutes. So we appreciate all the support from everybody. If you want to support us more, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/bestseatinthehousepodcast. And other than that, I think that's it for us this week. Let's go Rangers. Let's go Knicks. And let's hope the Mets can hold on tonight and get this victory too. So for the great Daniel Bobo Kerlin, I'm Rob Kramer. This is the Best Seat in the House podcast, and we'll catch you next week, everybody.